Also joined by Maureen Kennelly, Director of Poetry Ireland, who's been looking at what newspapers were saying about the poets of the day back in 1914. Tell us a little bit more about Timothy Daniel Sullivan and why his death got so much press coverage.
Yes, as you say, Miles, it did get quite an extensive amount of coverage. He was an MP for three different various constituencies, those being Westmeath, College Green and Donegal. He was also Lord Mayor of Dublin in, I think, 1886 and 1887. He was a member of the Home Rule League, supported Parnell in the 1880 general election, and was convinced that without self-government, there could never be peace, prosperity or contentment in Ireland. He joined the Irish Parliamentary Party when it was established in 1882 and then became an anti-Parnellite following the split. He wrote a very interesting sketch of his political experiences called Recollections of Troubled Times in Irish Politics, and he was editor of some publications, including The Nation. And Yeats said this about TD's contribution to music and poetry in a volume called Irish Literature, which was published in 1904. The agrarian movement that followed produced little poetry, and of that little, all is forgotten but a vehement poem by Fanny Parnell and a couple of songs by T.D. Sullivan, who is a good songwriter, though not, as the writer has read on an election placard, one of the greatest poets who ever moved the heart of man.
So
bit of an ouch in there for sure. So not the highest of praise, but it does show he was regarded for his contribution to the arts and especially for having written the song you just played.
Now, when we were covering the centenary of the Irish Volunteer newspaper a few weeks ago, we got an idea of how central poetry was to the nationalist agenda. You've come across more evidence of this.
We have indeed. I mean, what you find is that Sinn Féin has devoted quite a lot of space to poetry. Much more so than the dailies.
The newspaper Sinn Féin.
That's right, exactly, yes. Yeah, absolutely. On April 4th, 1914, you find an interesting article entitled The Exclusion of Ulster, and the first line offers a good indication of just how central poetry was to the nationalist agenda. It states, the bards are up in arms. And the article is concerned about poetry submitted to the paper, which was denouncing the proposal to partition Ireland. A poem included in this article is by Philip O'Neill, and the first line reads, "When Saxon foot dared pollute our fair and verdant land."
Now, we've already had an ouch moment from W.B. Yeats. We're about to have another one, because also that spring an article was devoted to the poet and critic Edward Dowden, Professor Edward Dowden, who died the previous year. And Yeats essentially had, I think he denounced Dowden's ability
he
as
did.
A critic.
Yes, and this was one of Yeats's earliest attempts to establish his own public voice. So he chose to rail against Dowden in a review of the poetry of Sir Samuel Ferguson. This was published in 1886. And Yeats says, "If Ireland has produced no great poet, it is not that her poetic impulse has run dry, but because her critics have failed her, for every community is a solidarity, all depending upon each and each upon all. It's a question whether the most distinguished of our critics, Professor Dowden, would not only have more consulted the interests of his country, but more also in the long run, his own dignity and reputation, which are dear to all Irishmen, if he had devoted some of those elaborate pages which he has spent on the much bewritten George Eliot to a man like the subject of this article."
That the Irish Worker managed to lift its gaze from the class war to encompass poetry on a couple of occasions around this time as well, didn't it?
It did indeed, and a poem entitled Bludgeons and Blarney was published under the pseudonym Betanio on May 30th, 1914. And following that, on June 6th, an article entitled The Gory Grenadiers, an explanation, refers
that's
to...
That's G-O-R-Y, not the town
right.
in Wexford, in
exactly.
case anybody's wondering.
Yes. Which is referring to a poem of that name that was published a few weeks earlier. And the article defends the content of the poem, claiming that it is not an attack on the Irish Volunteers, as some readers had suspected. So all this just shows you how involved poetry was in relation to the political and social climate of the time.
According to press coverage back then, you'd imagine that some of the poets who have actually survived the test of time were doomed to sink without trace. Thomas McDonagh was one of them, for example.
Well, here's another ouch moment from April 4th and Sinn Féin again, and it's a review of McDonagh's latest collection that criticises its apparent introversion by comparison with his early work. The review says, "It is a treasure house of his very own satisfaction, a mint whose currency may be valuable to him, but to him alone."
Okay. Gerald, just finally, any theories, any notions about why World War One is associated with poetry, perhaps more so than any other war?
Well, I think you just have to think back in terms of technology. The poets other soldiers who wrote poems. It's not quite the same thing. I mean, they were the first documents, the first documentaries of what they were experiencing. So today we have, you know, the videos and so on. They were the videos of their time, and these poems conveyed as practically as they possibly could the reality of gas, of the muck, of all the sheer physical sounds and smells and the shock of war.
Unlike the journalism was supposed to be the first draft of history, I think on this occasion poetry was, because
I think
the journalism
was
heavily censored.
I think you're absolutely right, absolutely right. And that the poets, many of whom were, let's put it this way, had been schooled in the heroic idealism of patriotism and, you know, it's good to die for one's country and so on. I mean, when they actually got to the trenches and experienced what was going on there, the shock to their souls must have been incredible. Mm. And that's where the poetry emerged from.
From this April, there'll be a dedicated poetry section in the Century Ireland online newspaper, and it will include poetry readings from 100 years ago by young people between the ages of 13 and 18. Gerry Daw and Maureen Kennedy, thank you very much indeed for joining us this evening. And Gerry's book, Earth Voices Whispering, an anthology of Irish war poetry, 1914 to 1945, is published by Blackstaff Press. And in the coming ones, we'll be delving further into World War I poetry and its impact. And details of the National Gallery's War Poetry and Artists Talks in March are on our website, where you'll find more information relating to this item. Join us after the break for Irish Brigades Abroad.